There's a young lady with disability, sightless lady. She lives in St. Philip. She has two kids. She isn't working. And whenever I get her size, because what I do with the assistance of one core member, Denise Davis, she's not a Salvationist, but she comes to all of our meetings.
Legal Mercy member.
Legal Mercy member. Yeah. She has a list from me of the sizes. Hmm. So when the staff comes, I will arrange with her to meet me. And if we cannot meet, she has a key. She lets herself in. And with that list, she would parcel out who for what. And then I would get faithful volunteers, including John Cotras, who mans one of our cores in St. Philip. Mm-hmm. He would come and pick up hers from, and take it straight to her home. So the army has been spreading its wings far and wide. And I thank God for volunteers like John and Brother Ralph Worrell and others who I can call upon. Mm-hmm. And when they're doing their duties, they would fit me in and assist. And this is a tremendous help to the needy people.
And we realize that this is indeed part of the League of Mercy
ministry. Yes, it is.
And you can expand on that as we relate to even your men's fellowship. We realize there's some League of Mercy members who are in your men's fellowship. And we know that they are especially needed around the Christmas period. And you can expand on your League of Mercy aspect as well as the collection that you do throughout the year for the kettle and on Saturdays at Jardins in Fitzvillage.
The League of Mercy end was nothing new to me since I was brought up in an era where charity, I saw charity practiced by my late grandmother, and somehow I followed in her footsteps, and I'm happy to say this. I came along for my grandmother giving. My grandmother lived at that time in Brighton, Black Rock, and people would come from all over Barbados. She lived very near to the beach, the Brandoms, which is very, very popular, and before some of the churches had what they now know as the baptism pools. Brandon was the place for baptism, a very nice beach. Hmm. And both male and female would find my grandmother's house for one reason or other. I guess it was the spiritual God that guided them there. They would go and rinse off, and my grandmother would always have a meal for them. Some even slept there,
well,
not knowing them, get up the following morning, have a bath and leave. And that is the kind of thing that I believe encouraged me, along with my conversion, to take charity work, community work, very, very serious. Mm. And it has become a part of my life, and I'm very, very serious about it. Giving. There was a time in my life, last year, 210, when I gave away my whole salary a week.
Wow.
It is not the biggest in the world, but I gave it there. And I'm happy to say I never went to bed a night hungry. Mm. And I never suffered as a result. As a result, I was blessed. Mm. So when the League of Mercy came along, or when I was induced or encouraged to take up the League of Mercy serious, it was nothing new. And I enjoy my life as a League of Mercy member. The Corps has a few other members, it's Brother McCalling and Sister Dennis, as I mentioned before. They are the two more or less standing members along with myself. And together, we do a tremendous job. Brother McCalling is a very handy person. He joined the faith late in years, age-wise. Mm. But he is a tremendous help to the Corps. He likes decorating, he likes the garden, and he would cook and take the members in the district. He would go and clean the interior or exterior of their houses, which we call scrub, mop, weed the yard, you name it. You can call upon him anytime. He would cook food or buy groceries of his small pension and take it as far afield as possible outside of the Seaview district, almost to Spikestown, to an old lady who he worked for in the past and an old gentleman. We have one, two cases in the Seaview whereby these recipients were ill and advanced in age, and Brother McCalling would make breakfast, would cook and carry for them. I had a situation there, I think it was my last trip overseas for the Salvation Army, when we went to our retreat in St. Lucia. And about hours before I left, the telephone rang. And there was a former work colleague of mine who told me, "Carson, I need some help. Hmm. You got to help me." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" There's this guy who used to work the same place I'm working. As I went in, he came out work-wise, the late Teddy Strong. He lost his wife. he took it very, very hard, and added to that, he was sightless, not trained to use a cane, and he had a water problem, which she said she didn't know of after I found it out and told her about it. I took him, and on the reason why I took him, because if I, Brother McConnell was not available, I couldn't take it. I mentioned the thing to Brother McConnell, I think it's a matter, I think he was there when the phone rang. I explained to him the situation, he said, Carson, you take him. I'm working in Seaview, and I will look after him until you come back. I went and spent a week in St. Lucia with the Army, and when he came back, to use an old Beijing term, all hell had broken loose. But McCollum told me he went as far as to curse him in the hall. But being under the blood, Brother McCollum stuck to it, but I took over. But he didn't curse me, but he was a challenge, because he wouldn't use his hands, not being trained to use the cane. He kept on missing his room and going into the wrong room. So he said the best thing to do him is to close off these rooms and leave his room only accessible. That made it a bit easier. But of course he was wetting the floor, and I had to be finding the water with my bare feet, using the mop and detergents and so on, and antiseptics to keep the room clean. That was a challenge, but with divine guidance I made it. And God moved in a mysterious way. Little did I know the few months he spent with me, because I had to put him in care eventually with the assistance of the government. They'll come to that in a minute. Little did I know that God was preparing me for a similar situation when I went to America that very year. I tried to visit my aunt, and she is physically ill. When I got there, she was doing almost the same thing. So God was preparing me to look after her when I got to the States. The assistance I got from government came through a friend, and the psychiatric hospital in recent years has become a cure for all, a help all in cases like those. I called the geriatric hospital, explained them the situation. They sent me two members, one I knew. They interviewed me and they interviewed him, and they promised to assist. Well, of course, we know in the Caribbean the wheels of government turned very slow. I didn't like the pace at which they were turning, so I called the psychiatric, and it's good to have friends in high places.
Yeah.
I called a nurse friend of mine, I explained the situation, she said, Carson, I will come. She was to come less than today, and because of pressure of work, she couldn't make it. Bright and early the following morning, they are still a faithful civil servants. Phone rang, she apologized, she said, Carson, I'm coming there now. And before I could put the receiver down, she was there. She went into the bedroom, asked him a few questions. I was making breakfast for him. To this day, they had a chance to eat the breakfast. The next, you know, she had him hustled out into her car, called the police and asked him my relationship with him. I went to the States. He grew worse. They took him into the QE, and he died in there. Got the call he had passed away. So that was one of the biggest things that I would say I had as a person with disability, because it was me alone. Yes, Brother McCollum continued to bring food for him and things like that, but living 24 hours with some person like that, that was my first thing. And it has prepared me for future cases, as in case.
Brother Carson Small, as today is Ash Wednesday and we are coming forward to the Easter season, can you reflect a little bit on the past and your music ministry, etc., and how it used to be as Salvationists, as Christians in Barbados as well? How was this celebrated?
Easter was always a big thing in Barbados, because we have been deemed over the year as a Christian community. I would like to believe that that statement still stands in spite of the challenges that we face overall as a country, and especially as Christians. Sunrise service on Easter morning was a big thing in the Salvation Army. Not a core would be without the sunrise service. And we used to hold ours in our district on a little cricket basket, which is no longer used for cricket. It's overgrown because of many, many things. And sometimes he would march with the assistance of two drums back to the church and break up or whatever. But that was a very big thing. The Easter morning service, of course, was the number one, where we would meet at the given time and have our Easter service taken care of by the officer, whoever he or she. was. And I'm going to take a moment out to say that if my memory serves me well, all of my years in the Salvation Army, up until, let's say, recently, I believe we have more female officers on CBO than male officers. I'm not sure if it was because of the where we had more females in the army than male, but quite a number of female officers we have had at CBO. And as I said, you saw the Easter morning service, that was also very well attended. You would get a few people who were not Salvationists, and they would come in, of course. And like tradition in Barbados, Christmas, where you have a church full, the bigger churches, and you wouldn't see them again until probably a funeral or till next Christmas or so. But that is part of Bajan culture, where people would come to church on special occasions. My musical end, although I love doing instruments, I'm not a classroom teacher, and I always experience difficulty in sitting down to learn things. A lot of my community work and spiritual work came by the, not by the way as by the way, but I moved from point A to point B, and I would learn this and I would learn that, not being able to see, to read as my vision went down.
Yeah.
I always loved the mouth organ. It took me less than one day to learn to play the mouth organ.
Wow.
And I played a lot of mouth organ in my radio ministry in the early years, where we had a program called Children's Party Pattern of You, which was hosted by the same Dame Olga. And I did a lot of things in that program, and many people often wonder if it was a rehearse act, but we never ever rehearsed. It was an hour long program. It started live in the studio in the days of the late George Tudor, who was the number one comedian in Barbados. And 4 years after he died, I was given the program, and it was brought about through community work. We have, as you know, in Barbados, our major festival is called Popover, where the celebration of the close of the cane crop is a very, very big thing. I was very much involved in that, in the resurrection of that, because I can remember about two times when it was sort of resurrected. The second one I was involved in, where we had people like Julian Marishaw from down the islands, and the late Frank Pardo, Joel Bannister, doing community work, and we were part of a committee set up at Trent St. James, the meeting point, the Trent's Community Centre. And our role was to plan activity for the St. James Parish, where I did most of my community work. And at the end of the celebration, which lasted a week or so, it would close at the garrison, where we have our horse racing, with a concert, a variety concert. I was invited to do a stint of comedy, which I loved and still love to this very day. So when I came off stage, Olga, Auntie Olga, she was affectionately known, she was in the audience, and she said, "Carson, I didn't know you were here until I heard you." Neither did I know that she was there. She liked what she heard.